You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, top NBA stories. We'll go around the NBA. We'll grab what we think is most interesting. We'll ignore the ones that that we think just didn't make the cut. Okay, so the conversation around the NBA right now. By the way, 8:30, Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. And then after this, we'll do Lakers Talk on social. We'll be on Twitter. We'll be on Periscope. We'll be on YouTube. Every social media site that you could think of. Okay, real quick. So we don't know when the NBA season is going to start. And that's, look, this isn't small news. This is a big deal. At some point here in the near future, the NBA is going to have to figure this out. I did see an article, Adam Silver boosts urgency on deal for NBA's pre-Christmas start. So we do know one thing. We know that the NBA is big time pushing December 22nd. That the risk of losing more games and a ton of money is on the table. So this is one thing that Jared Dudley put out on Twitter a couple days ago. Mark Stein had put out 50-game season would reduce player salaries significantly in the 2020-2021 season since NBA pay adheres to a regular season schedule. The NBA 72-game model calls for teams to play roughly 14 games a month through May, followed by the playoffs through mid-July before the Olympics begin. Jared Dudley responds to Mark Stein. Can't play 50 games. That's a hard no for the players. Has to be a minimum of 72. The real question is what changed in the last week? The league kept saying January. Everybody knew how big Christmas was, and Olympics being late July months ago. TV just mentioned it now. ? Okay, so let me just kind of give my two cents here when it comes to the NBA schedule. I don't know what's going to happen. I got a strong feeling that they're going to play on December 22nd. I think you guys understand how this works. Money talks. And money is certainly talking by that 30-day span of whether you start December 22nd or you play on January 18th. So if you're the Players Association, and you heard Kendrick Perkins talk a little bit about this as we got further in, or a little bit earlier in the show, where he talked about how by the end of this week, he thinks that the players and the union and the owners will come up with an agreement on a date. I just got a feeling it's going to be December 22nd. That's a big day for the NBA. Does it help the Lakers? No, it doesn't. Does all of a sudden that this Lakers team will have about 2 months, and if you count training camp, less than 2 months, probably more about a month and a half of rest before they start again? Yeah, that's not, you can't be too happy about that if you're a Laker fan, but you have such a big part of the NBA where the date shouldn't be an issue. Other than Denver, Boston, Lakers, and Miami, really no one should be complaining, because a lot of these other teams would have a full month more than the Lakers, than Miami, and these other two teams that I listed. I got a feeling the NBA starts back up on December 22nd. Okay, Danny Green on his podcast. Danny Green, let's just say, throwing a little shade towards the Los Angeles Clippers. Here's Danny Green earlier in the week.
Well, they're a very confident team, rightfully so. They got some great additions, and they might have been different in a outside of bubble situation. But seeing the billboards, you know, that's expected. You know, them talking a little bit, you know, it's expected. I do think that when you're, I don't know how to say this. I do think that when you're, let's say, predetermined, or if you're just, I think the basketball gods will humble you if you don't, you know, play the game the right way or do the right thing. I think you shouldn't speak. I mean, a lot of people say speak things into existence, which is cool. I like that, but I'm not, you shouldn't be as cocky, because a lot of times you're talking that it's going to go the opposite way. You know, some way, somehow, you know, things ironically are going to turn out the way you talk, opposite of you talk. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. You can do that. I just don't like to do that. I don't like to be like, oh yeah, we're going to beat their ass tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
All right, that's Danny Green right there. That was on the Real Ones podcast with Rajah Bell and Logan Murdoch. Okay, so basically, what is Danny Green saying? Danny Green's kind of saying, in a sense, Clippers got what they deserved. When he said they were humbled by the basketball gods, I understand what he means. You know what's funny is that night that the Denver Nuggets came back, they were down 3-1. It was Game 7. They forced a Game 7 against the Clippers. Twitter went crazy. And I kind of tried thinking about this. I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't the Lakers supposed to be like the hated franchise? Usually franchises that are so incredibly successful, eventually, you know, many fan bases hate them. And I'm sure if you ask Phoenix Suns fans or Sacramento Kings fans, yeah, there's probably a lot of fans that are not too crazy about the Lakers because they're envy. I mean, just the amount of success that the Lakers have had. Here's a Clippers organization who's never been to the Western Conference Finals. Has you know, obviously a team put together that's supposed to try and compete against the Lakers. And Twitter went crazy about the Clippers losing that Game 7. And I sat back and I'm like, wow, not that I wasn't expecting it, but there were a lot of people who were not cheering for the Clippers. That the Clippers were so cocky. And remember Patrick Beverley on the sidelines when Damian Lillard missed those two free throws and he was yelling Dame time or whatever he was doing? That's kind of the persona that the Clippers gave themselves. They kind of thought, all we have to do is just show up and we're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. All we have to do is put our shoes on, step on that basketball court. It's going to be the Lakers versus the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference. That didn't happen. And I think a lot of, you know, I think a lot of fans out there almost felt like, yeah, you kind of get what you deserve. And that's what happened when Danny Green mentions that you got to show respect to your opponent. You got to show respect to the game. Because if you don't, what ends up happening? You don't make it to the Western Conference Finals, and that's still obviously a big building block for the Los Angeles Clippers that they have not been able to get over. Okay. Another top NBA story. Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors, grew up here in Los Angeles, was speaking to the Associated Press. I think they had, you know, a lot of these arenas have the Chase Center up in the Bay Area or in San Francisco. A lot of these arenas right now are being used to vote. They're being used as poll sites. So Steve Kerr was there, I believe, on Saturday. Said he was a Laker fan for most of his childhood, but now says he can't stand them. Things change. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you for your honesty there. I was asking Michael Thompson this question. I think this is a great question to go through. The Warriors are going to be good this year. They really are. I think they are in a position. So I just talked about the Clippers. Let me lump in the Golden State Warriors, and then let me lump in the Denver Nuggets. So let me kind of talk about these three teams right here. Lakers are going to be favored to win an NBA championship. No question about it. I think nobody would disagree with that. I'm not making a bold statement. I'm basically saying what a lot of people believe and what people think is going to eventually happen. So with that being said, I'm going to throw out this question to Laker fans. Who do you think will be the toughest competition to face to get out of the Western Conference this upcoming season? Do you think it will be the Golden State Warriors, who are obviously as primed and as experienced as any team in the NBA with champions that have won multiple championships in Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson? Do you think it's going to be the Clippers who will be the toughest team this upcoming season for the Lakers because of just the roster that they have? That Kawhi Leonard is there, Paul George is there, Ty Lue took over as head coach. They got a year under their belt now. All those excuses that they were making from being eliminated this past season, those excuses go the way. Or do you think it's going to be the Denver Nuggets? Denver, who, by the way, gave the Lakers a pretty damn good run. If it wasn't for an Anthony Davis buzzer beater that gave the Lakers a, what'd that give the Lakers? 2-0 lead? I think gave them a 2-0 lead in overtime. And AD obviously delivering for the Los Angeles Lakers. Which of those three teams between the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Clippers, and the Denver Nuggets do you think will be the toughest competition? We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. 877-710-ESPN. Those were your top NBA stories on Lakers Talk.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so the biggest challenge this upcoming season for the Lakers in the Western Conference, who do you think it is? You think it's the Clippers, the Golden State Warriors, or the Denver Nuggets? Or maybe there's another team that I'm not mentioning, but I think those three teams are going to be the class of the Western Conference, of course, along with the Los Angeles Lakers. 877-710-ESPN if you want to give your thoughts on that. And then on Twitter, you could hit me up at Alan Sliwa on Twitter. You know, I as much as I look at that Clippers team and I think about how dangerous that Clippers team, and I certainly gave them probably more respect than I should have this past season, but I thought it's Lakers-Clippers. And I didn't know. I thought it'd be a toss-up. You know, I was very curious. I thought Lakers, the way they beat the Clippers before the regular season ended, I thought that was huge. I thought that was key. I think that gave a lot of Lakers confidence to think that, okay, you know what, maybe the Lakers can take them in a seven-game set. We know they lost the first two games against them. But then when the playoffs started, and then all of a sudden you start watching the Lakers, you saw them get better, and I kept mentioning this. I said, listen, chemistry-wise, where's that chemistry for the Clippers? I don't see it. And that eventually, I think, is how they lost to the Denver Nuggets. For me, as good as the Clippers are, they're missing something. And unless they address that this offseason, they're not the team that I think is the biggest threat to the Lakers. Then you look at the Denver Nuggets. Denver's nice. I mean, how good was Jamal Murray in that Orlando bubble? How good was Jokic in the Orlando bubble? How good and promising is that team? I think Jeremy Grant, by the way, a free agent. He was a big piece to do that with that as well. And then you had guys like Michael Porter Jr., who was certainly coming through and just kind of starting to show what his capability is. Paul Millsap, who's an unrestricted free agent as well. As good as Denver was, and as much as Denver's got hope and opportunity, don't you think Denver's just still too young? I mean, don't you look at the Denver Nuggets and say, yeah, they're nice, they're good, they got a lot of talent, but experience-wise, I don't know if they're there yet. Now, maybe in 2 years they'll be there, but I just don't think they're there yet. The team that I think will be the biggest threat to the Lakers this upcoming season in the Western Conference is the Golden State Warriors. And I know Michael and I hit on this a little bit. If you missed that interview from earlier today or earlier this evening, you can catch it on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Just go to Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. You catch all 2 hours of the show. But Michael said that as long as Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are healthy, that he thinks that's going to be the team that the Lakers will have most trouble with. And by the way, I agree with him. Plus, you have a guy like Draymond Green and just those three players in general who have not only won championships, have won championships against LeBron James. So there's a lot of, you know, obviously familiarity from that perspective from back in the days when it was Cleveland and the Golden State Warriors going at it. But I think past all of that, not that I'm undermining how important those players are and those champions are, they got some options here. They got the number two pick in the draft, which is, even though we don't know when the regular season is going to start and we have no idea how everything else is going to work out in training camp, we do know when the draft is. The draft is November 18th, so that's the one thing that kind of stands there we all know about. I remember I was saying this during the regular season last year, and I kept telling Michael, I said, Michael, you know, I think that shopping that pick is in the best interest of the Warriors. Why? Because they're built to win right now. Yeah, can they go out and get a player that's going to be a big-time piece for the next 5-10 years? Yeah, absolutely. But you got a window right now to try and win an NBA championship, and that's really the window that the Warriors are in, as you know, Klay, Steph, and Draymond have been accustomed to competing for championships. I can see them taking a guy like Andrew Wiggins and that number two pick. They have some options here, and that's part of the reason why they traded D'Angelo Russell. That's part of the reason why, when they knew Kevin Durant was going to leave to Brooklyn, why they traded Kevin Durant, and they picked up all these assets. They have assets to improve that team, and I just have this feeling that the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors are going to be colliding and facing each other at some point, and we all kind of continue to talk about how Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, Lakers and the Clippers, Clippers have never been there. We might not see that again this upcoming year. And we'll have to wait and see, but I think that's what makes this offseason so intriguing, because the Warriors are a move away. The Clippers are, you know, a vet away or a piece away, maybe two pieces away, the right pieces that can kind of mix in and help from a chemistry perspective. And the Lakers, they're already in a prime position, but will certainly have to be better if they're going to grab championship number 18 now. Kind of weird to say, to talk about championship number 18. 877-710-ESPN if you want to give your thoughts on the Golden State Warriors, Clippers, or the Denver Nuggets being the team that, the Lakers would be the biggest threat to the Lakers getting back to the NBA Finals. Okay, so I kind of spent some time on this a little bit last week, and I want to, I guess, go a little bit further into it. Has anybody really reflected on last season? Have you guys got a chance to kind of look back and think about what the Lakers just accomplished to win championship number 17? Everything happened so quick. I mean, you know, here we were. I mean, I say everything happened so quick. It took a year for the entire season to end. But what I'm referring to there is when I say everything happened so quick. By the time the Lakers got to Orlando and it was time to restart the season and play in this bubble and try to win an NBA championship, the games were just so fluid. Every other day there was a game. Every other day there was a game. And I know for me personally, being a part of the broadcast, doing pre- and post-game shows, doing Lakers talk, you were just so in it that by the time we got to the NBA Finals and the Lakers eventually won an NBA championship, and then everything just stopped cold turkey. And now you're obviously thinking about all the other things going on in the world. Tomorrow there's an election going on. Obviously, by the way, encourage everybody to vote. There's so many different things going on. I don't know how much Laker fans kind of took a step back and just took a deep breath and enjoyed what that championship was and what it meant. And as I kind of look back at it now and I get a chance to listen to guys like Danny Green when he does a podcast, or Jared Dudley is always vocal, get a chance to read a lot of LeBron James tweets and things along those lines. When you look back on it now, it is kind of cool to see that this Lakers team, that path and that road they took to eventually get here. You guys remember back in October when they were just starting? And I remember it was media day. Media day down in El Segundo at the Lakers training facility. And I remember that was, you know, one of the first few times that you saw Anthony Davis, and he's wearing all his Lakers gear. You know, they're taking all those team photos and everything, like those individual photos. And he came over to the 710 ESPN booth, and he got a chance to talk to Mason in Ireland. And then he came around, and we did some questions with him, too, from a social perspective. AD, what's your top five Laker players of all time? And we just went through all these different questions with him. And it was just so surreal to see AD wearing a Los Angeles Lakers uniform. And then fast forward, we got to see Anthony Davis when he's kind of walking back towards the tunnel and LeBron is chasing him down and he's winning his first NBA championship. And the way Dwight was celebrating his first NBA championship, and LeBron was getting not just his fourth championship, but his fourth finals MVP. And then on top of that, you know, you got all these role players like Caruso and Kuzma. I mean, everyone's, you know, obviously a part of winning that championship. It's nice to look back and reflect on it a little bit. And I think where we'll really kind of reflect on this past season, eventually when that banner goes up at Staples Center, that'll be a special moment. Eventually when the team gets their individual rings to represent winning, you know, championship number 17, that's going to be a special moment. And then like all Laker fans that are out there, we're all going to start already thinking about what 20 or what championship number 18 would mean. I want to play something here real quick from Magic Johnson. So it wasn't only the Lakers winning an NBA championship, but it was the Dodgers obviously winning a World Series. I want to play. Magic was talking about how he thought that the Lakers winning helped the Dodgers gain momentum to eventually help them win a World Series.
I think that gave the Dodgers a lot of momentum when they started and said, hey, let's do this. The Lakers did it. It's our turn. And I was happy for Clayton Kershaw. I was happy for Dave Roberts, our manager, you know, to get the monkey off their back. And then I was just happy for everybody who live in Los Angeles, because the Dodgers and Lakers are the champs of the world. And so it's just a special, special time for me. And I know Kobe and Dr. Buss and Chick Hearn was looking down from heaven and being very proud of themselves.
That was Magic this morning on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. By the way, they're back on tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. right here on 710. One more clip I want to play from Magic, that it's not just the Lakers and the Dodgers winning championships in the same season, but it's both of these teams having an opportunity to build off of this and really both being in a position to win potentially multiple championships.
When you think about, you know, the monkey's off everybody's back, and now they can just be happy. And what's great about both organizations, we're going to be back again next year. You know, if you think about both teams, the Lakers and the Dodgers.
You know, it is something else when you just really kind of take a step back, like Magic just mentioned there. Both franchises are stacked. I mean, coming into the Major League Baseball season, I know it was only 60 games, and we know how many rules had to change based on COVID-19. But it was, I want to say, the Dodgers and the Yankees were the spring training favorites. And in the NBA, it was the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks that were the three teams. Nothing's really going to change from a Lakers and a Dodgers perspective walking into this upcoming season. Both teams will still be the favorites. Okay, Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation. He's coming up next. I'll ask Trevor who he thinks will be the biggest challenge for the Lakers in the Western Conference. What free agent players does he think could be realistic and a good fit for the Lakers? So we got a lot to get into with Trevor Lane. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Very happy to have on a great friend of the show, Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Trev, what's going on, man? Thank you for thanks for taking some time and joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Alan. You know, like we were talking right before we came on, obviously it's a busy week, a lot going on in the country. But you know what? It's a busy time in the NBA, too. This is the offseason. That's where all the trade rumors and free agency and all that kind of stuff goes down. Plus, we're still trying to figure out when the season starts. So there's all kinds of stuff happening right now.
Well, let's start off with that right there. What do you think happens? Do you think we end up starting on December 22nd? Do you think the players maybe push hard enough where they say, all right, you know what, Martin Luther King is a better start date? And how many games do you think we end up playing? Just, you know, your thoughts, your opinion on it. I know a lot of different things have been reported.
I still think it starts December 22nd. I'm actually a little bit surprised that it's taken this long, that the players are pushing back so hard. It makes me wonder if maybe there's another financial element to it that we're not hearing about that is more the sticking point. Because to me, I look at this and I think, you know, the Lakers, the Miami Heat, maybe the Boston Celtics have a problem with starting December 22nd. And of course, LeBron is going to carry a lot of weight in that. But pretty much the rest of the league shouldn't have much of an issue starting that early, as some of them have been off since March. So to me, when the NBA is saying they're going to lose hundreds of millions, if not maybe $1 billion, right, by starting in January instead of December, you would think they would figure that out and be able to get that done. So I still think at some point we're going to wind up with a December start date, especially with Christmas being so important to the NBA. But, you know, until it's done, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, listen, I hope it some kind of announcement comes sooner than later. I remember Adam Silver during the playoffs. I thought there was one point where he mentioned that they were still figuring out when next season was going to start, but they would have an 8-week notice, as in when they did decide, every team around the NBA would have 2 months. Obviously, that's not the case if you're going to start training camp probably in that first week of December and then get the season started December 22nd. So let's see how things shake out on that front. Trev, you know what I'm curious about? I'm curious, and I've had this conversation a little bit earlier in the show. Biggest challenge this upcoming season in the Western Conference for the Lakers, as we kind of look to see what the Lakers' chances are for going back-to-back and how competitive and how exciting the Western Conference is going to be. If you had to pick one team, and I think for me there's only three teams in the conversation, the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, and the Golden State Warriors. If you had to pick who'd be the toughest competition in the West to get back to the finals, do you think it's one of those three teams? If so, which one? Or do you think there's an outlier there that I'm missing?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there, and I think it is going to be the Clippers. I have a feeling they're going to make some moves this offseason. I know they're in the hunt for another guard. They're going to try to come back quite a bit stronger. I mean, remember, the clock is ticking on them here. They've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in free agency next offseason. So I think they are going to do everything they can to put together a winning squad right now, put together a team that can bring home a championship. So I think they are going to be the toughest competition for the Lakers. The Golden State Warriors will certainly be right there as well, but they have to prove now that they can stay healthy. So for the time being, I'm going to say the Clippers are going to remain the biggest threat to the Lakers in the Western Conference. And, man, who knows? Maybe we will finally get that Lakers versus Clippers playoff matchup this next season.
Well, listen, I'm not going to count on it, all right, because the Lakers keep doing their part. It's not our fault that the Clippers can't do their part. It will be interesting. I think getting the Golden State Warriors back in the mix this season, and, of course, you know, injuries are going to be a big part, or health is going to be a big part. But that's really, you know, you can make that case for any team that's out there. I'm going to throw out some names your way, and I want to just get your thoughts on what you think is realistic and could be a good fit for the Los Angeles Lakers in free agency. And I'm just going to throw out some names that I think, you know, maybe are chasing a ring, or a player that you think would just, you know, fit well without me saying somebody that I think is unrealistic. So let me throw out a couple names here. Danilo Gallinari is a unrestricted free agent this year. Paul Millsap, Serge Ibaka, Jeff Teague, Tim Hardaway Jr., Tristan Thompson. We know his relationship with LeBron James. Is there a name out there that you're looking at in free agency where you think it can be realistic to the Lakers and they could try to actually get even better in the offseason than they were this past year?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Alan. Danilo Gallinari has got to be at the top of my list. I mean, he's a 40-plus percent three-point
shooter. Yep.
He's pretty good at creating his own offense. When things bog down, you can give him the ball and he can kind of, you know, we could say flop his way to the free throw line. He can generate offense for you. He's a good all-around player, 32 years old, and has already made comments about how he realizes he's not 22 anymore. And so he's going to be more concerned with contending than the size of his next contract. And that had to make the Lakers' ears perk up. Maybe a guy that talented, you would think he wouldn't be in their price range. But you know what? When you win a championship, sometimes you can get players to come play for you for less than you would expect. So he would be the top of my list. But everybody you mentioned there has their pros and cons. I mean, let's say the Lakers come up, find a perfect trade, and they wind up shipping out Kyle Kuzma. Can you imagine being able to bring in Paul Millsap to be your backup power forward and fill that role, a veteran who can step outside, who can do a little bit of everything? I think there's a number of intriguing options out there for the Lakers. They don't have that super top-heavy free agency this year where you've got these superstars that are out there aside from Anthony Davis, and we're assuming he stays. But there could be some impact pieces that are found this offseason, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I think the Lakers are going to be an attractive landing spot once that cap space around the league dries up, and there's not a whole lot of it out there.
Well, that's the one thing I will say, Trev, is Lakers have multiple ways to get better this offseason, and I say offseason as if we're 4 months away from the season starting, but you know what I'm referring to there. They got a few ways to do that. Now, whether they make some type of a trade or they have some expiring contracts that are on their books right now, or they just, you know, like you mentioned, this is one of the advantages that championship teams have. There are players that say, you know what, I'd love to compete for a ring. I want to play with a guy like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. All the pressure is not going to be on my back. Let me see if I could get a championship before I hang it up, or over these next couple of seasons, if that's all that player has left. So it is exciting. You know, if you're a Lakers fan out there, you're thinking in your head, man, we could potentially be even better than we were this season. And we know that obviously resulted in a championship. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation, nice enough to spend some time here on Lakers Talk. You can follow Trevor Lane at Trevor_Lane on Twitter. Does a great job. YouTube, always some good shows on there as well. So I want to make sure I promote that. Trev, I'd spent a little time on this as well earlier in the show, and I guess I'm always curious now to get people's thoughts on LeBron James. So 2 years ago when he signed with the Lakers, what was your expectation? I mean, you know, if you remember when that happened, a lot of people were saying, well, he's going to be on decline in his career. The Lakers have so many young pieces and players. How's he going to compete for a championship? Is he coming here just for Hollywood? I'm curious, when he originally signed here, did you think that the Lakers would end up with a championship with LeBron James representing the purple and gold?
I mean, Alan, I certainly hoped that they would. I thought, you know, for me, when LeBron James signed with the Lakers, it wasn't so much what was LeBron going to bring, because that's kind of a known commodity. I mean, even an aging LeBron James, we know what he's going to do both on and off the court. The question really was, what's the Lakers organization going to do to put him in a spot to win a championship? Can they do that? Will they cash in all of these young players and do what they need to do in order to win right now? And obviously they did, and clearly it worked out. So the expectation on LeBron was to go in and do all the things that you need to do, continue to play at a high level, and if you can do that, this organization will in turn do everything they possibly can to give you an opportunity to win another championship and bring number 17 home for the Lakers. And thinking back to that day now, you know, where we are at this point, you know, that's a really cool moment to go back to remember where we were, you know, when LeBron first signed with the Lakers, and all the optimism we had for all of that to be realized now is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think, and this is why I had some of that conversation earlier during the show, because, I don't know, for me, how I look at LeBron moving forward as a Los Angeles Laker, it's just icing on the cake moving forward for me. This is just my own personal perspective. I mean, I remember 4 years ago or 2 years ago when Magic ends up at LeBron's house, and, you know, of course, Rich Paul, part of Clutch Sports, they figure out a way, hey, let's be Los Angeles Lakers and let's see what we can build from here. I was optimistic, but I remember saying at that time, if LeBron brought just one championship to the Los Angeles Lakers and he helped tie the Boston Celtics, what more can you ask for? This guy's coming into his 16th season. Yes, it's a four-year deal, but you don't know what happens in between. Are the Lakers going to be able to land another star with him? So many question marks were there. And now I'm looking at the predicament. I'm looking at the situation, and damn, does the future look so good that I don't want to say it wouldn't be disappointing if he only wins one here, because like I said, it's just house money moving forward, but you're also very optimistic of what the future looks like from here.
No, you're absolutely right, Alan. I mean, I've heard Lakers fans already saying, well, you know, no, he's got to win two in order to really be
No, he doesn't.
I agree, Alan. I don't buy it. It's mission accomplished. He got the championship, tied the Boston Celtics. Everything else, like you said, is just icing on the cake. But I'll tell you what, you know, we had Adrian Wojnarowski had on the Woj Pod. He had Rob Pelinka on, and Rob made a comment about how they're planning not just for how they can win this year, but adding another young player that can play with Anthony Davis moving forward. And you mentioned being optimistic, being excited for the future. That tells me this organization has their eye on both things. They're both trying to win right now, trying to win two in a row. And they have a long-term plan for how to win in the future, too. And as somebody who grew up on the Lakers, as Alan, you and I, we endured the last, six, 7 years along with Lakers fans, it feels really good to be in that spot where we can say this team has a plan for right now to contend for championships and to contend for championships for the foreseeable future. That's an amazing spot to be in.
Well, Trev, too, also, you know, when I say it's house money moving forward, that my expectation was if LeBron got one championship here in L.A., mission accomplished. But I don't think that's, you know, I almost don't feel like, okay, that was his goal. It's like, okay, he got one out of the way. But if you do look at this season, and the Lakers will be a favorite, and like you mentioned, you talked a little bit about the Clippers. Let's see what happens in the offseason. You know, we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't think the Clippers, you know, have an extreme amount of talent. Now, whether that talent turns into production on the court, that chemistry is there. We know there's a lot of things coming to play. The West is only getting better. The East is only getting better. But we would be fools not to think that the Lakers are certainly in the mix, if not the favorite to win it next this upcoming season. But past that, I think this is where it gets interesting when you mention that Pelinka, the podcast with Adrian Wojnarowski. What's interesting to me is LeBron can opt out of his contract next season. And let's say he did that. This is where I can see LeBron James finding a way to kind of have that flexibility to try and bring in another star. Not exactly the way they did it in Miami when Bosch, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James all took less money to play together. But I can see LeBron James, as he knows if he wants to continue to compete for championships, then he has this financial flexibility that he can help the Lakers with and ultimately help himself. That's part of the future that I'm referring to, that not only are they looking towards the future, but LeBron can be part of that future as he starts to slowly decline simply because of age.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. That's a great point. That's something that LeBron has resisted in recent years, the concept of taking less in order to help the organization and all of that. That's something that he has decided opted not to do. But you're right, he did it with the Miami Heat. But who's to say that towards the end of his career here, he might do it again? And that's where, look, if we see Anthony Davis, let's say he takes a 1+1 deal this offseason, a 2-year contract with a player option after that first year, that would put him in line to also be up for a new contract in the offseason of 2021 with LeBron James. Imagine if you have both of those guys recruiting some of the top names that could be out there in that 2021 offseason. Now, obviously, it's a dream scenario for the Lakers.
That's all I'm saying.
The possibility is there, right? Like that, there could be some big fireworks happening that offseason, depending on what happens over these next few weeks, of course.
Well, Trev, I know we have a lot before we get to that point, but I think what we're trying to do as best as we can is just kind of lay out what the next couple of years can be for the Los Angeles Lakers, and that's not unrealistic at all. And if the Lakers are obviously able to get the right pieces, make sure they bring back some of these players that are going to be key, then they'll be competing for a championship this season, but it just kind of shows the future as well. Trev, love doing this. Always enjoy doing this. I appreciate you being a guest on Lakers Talk. Like I mentioned earlier, you can follow Trevor Lane on Twitter, @Trevor_Lane. Trev, thanks for doing this, bud.
Hey, no problem, Alan. Thank you so much, as always, for having me on here. Always enjoy coming on and talking with you.
All right, that's Trevor Lane right there from Lakers Nation. Okay, Laker fans, let me throw this at you. Is LeBron a Lakers legend with one championship? One championship. Came here in his 16th season with the Lakers, signed a 4-year deal, brought the Lakers a championship. Obviously a big part of it. Is he a championship in your eye? I'll definitely give you my thoughts when we come back. 877-710-ESPN plus Magic Johnson on LeBron's legacy still being written. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. What a great beat.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, so if you're tuning in right now, driving around on the road, listening on the ESPN app or on iTunes, right after we're done with Lakers Talk right here on 710, we will then go and do about a half-hour show on social. We'll be on Twitter, Periscope, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. We're going to be there, and we'll continue to talk Lakers basketball, a little bit more interactive with listeners, read off some of your comments and everything else. So join us for that on ESPN Los Angeles or on Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on YouTube. I heard Trevor Lane say this, and I think this is something that it's a fun conversation, to be honest with you. When I say, is LeBron a Lakers legend with one championship? He won one championship. Is he a Lakers legend for accomplishing that one goal? I think it's safe to say, and most Laker fans would agree, there's different tiers to Laker greats. There really is. Different tiers, what I'm referring to there is, there's only one Kobe Bryant that played 20 years for the Los Angeles Lakers, has 5 NBA championships, won 3 with Shaq, and then won 2 more with Pau Gasol. There's only one Magic Johnson who won 5 NBA championships, got to 9 NBA finals, was the face of the franchise during the Showtime era, and really still in many ways the face of the Lakers, the Dodgers. I mean, certainly is put on a few different hats, has been extremely successful. There's different tiers to when I say Laker greats. James Worthy is in a different class. Shaquille O'Neal is in a different class, predominantly because these players won championships for such a long time with this franchise. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, I could go down the list of some of these special, special Lakers. But if the question out there, and this is something, you know, Trevor and I were throwing around, is he a Lakers legend with one championship? He is. No question about it, he is. I spent some time to start the show that what my expectations were for LeBron when he came and he was going to be a Los Angeles Laker, I didn't know if he was going to win a championship with a purple and gold. I really didn't. And, you know, he'll always be obviously a legend in Cleveland just because that's where he grew up. He grew up in Akron, Ohio. He's always going to be a legend in that area. And he'll be a legend for the Miami Heat because he won two NBA championships. But for the Lakers, and the only thing Laker fans really care about is, can you win a championship for the Los Angeles Lakers? He accomplished that goal. Now, I don't think it's far-fetched. And listening to Michael Thompson earlier talk about how it's kind of actually crazy. Hearing Michael Thompson, you know, spend all this time saying that now he's disappointed if the Lakers don't win two championships with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, you know, the expectations start to change once you get one under your belt. But I definitely think that, you know, when you look at LeBron and look at what he's accomplished in his career, but, you know, only thing that's important to Laker fans is what he just accomplished with the Lakers in just the 2 years that he was here and what he still could potentially accomplish for this franchise. Definitely a Laker legend. And like I mentioned, there's tiers to it. You only have one Kobe. You only have one Kareem. You only have one Shaq or Magic. Shaq obviously winning three championships, three finals MVPs. There's different levels to it, but certainly LeBron James in his own right has carved a piece out for himself. Okay, so I want to play this real quick. So as we talk about LeBron's legacy, how it's still being written, and Magic Johnson, who was on with Keyshawn, with Jay Will, and with Zubin this morning, talked a little bit about how LeBron is still building what his legacy is.
Oh, it's still being written, Keyshawn, and the things that he's been able to do, building his business with Maverick and Rich Paul. Those three guys have done just a fabulous job of establishing the business, but also giving back to building schools for kids, giving kids scholarships. And then he said, hey, I'm going to really lend my voice to people who are voiceless, right? And so I'm going to stand up for what's right in terms of get out the vote. And if there's issues in terms of what are we going to do with, you know, because of George Floyd got murdered, Breonna Taylor, on and on and on. LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, you know, those guys, Kevin Durant, they all stepped up and said, hey, enough is enough. We got to use our platform to bring about change. And they were led by LeBron James. And then when he asked people to use their stadiums like he did with the Dodgers and all across the sports landscape, where he made sure people were getting out to vote for this election and make sure everybody votes tomorrow or today. It was amazing.
That's Magic right there, and you could hear him kind of just keep going on about LeBron. But I like him giving that perspective, because a lot of times we just judge LeBron James and we judge athletes by what they do on the court. Did they help us win a championship or not? Were they an all-star? I mean, those are certainly the things that, from a sports fan perspective, we're looking at those types of accolades. But the reality is Magic highlighting what LeBron James is doing off the floor, the more than a vote, the I Promise School that he has. He's doing, obviously, it is pretty amazing what LeBron is accomplishing. And these are the type of players, these are the type of athletes that they got such an incredible mind for what they're going to do when the game is done and how it's bigger than just, Kobe's a good example, Magic is a good example. They didn't want to be remembered just for what they were doing on the floor, on the court. They want all these other accomplishments that come. I mean, is it funny, sometimes you hear an athlete and they're retired at 37, Like 37, I'm 37. What do you mean you're retired? But that's a position that these athletes are typically in. But obviously still competitive, still want a lot to accomplish. LeBron James, who knows what he's going to accomplish between now and the time he's done playing basketball. And who knows what he's going to accomplish between now and the time he's done playing basketball off the court. And who knows what happens 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now for LeBron James. But Magic Johnson, if there's somebody who knows how to be successful off the floor as much as you were on the court, then it's Magic. So to give credit to you know, obviously LeBron James, this is somebody that knows what he's talking about. Okay, only a few more minutes here. I want to give a few different one thing I didn't get a chance to get into that I'm going to try and get into it right now. So the NBA, as they try to figure out when they're going to start next season, which as of this point nobody has any idea. So I have no idea when. You know, and as many in the industry have no idea when, you know, you'll just kind of get back to that groove of doing games on a night in, night out basis. One of the things that is being talked about that they're kind of trying to restructure here. So part of the conversation NBA is having with the Players Association is also, aside from how many games, who's all going to be, how many games, what the date's going to be, all those stuff that come into play. There's also talk about the play-in tournament for both the Eastern and the Western Conference playoffs. So you guys remember this. And I think a lot of people, when we got to Orlando and it was, all right, well, Lakers are going to have 8 regular season games. And then teams like the Portland Trail Blazers, the Memphis Grizzlies, the San Antonio Spurs, the Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings, all these teams were invited because there's going to be a play-in tournament if it was within, you know, a margin, I think, of 4 games. They were going to have a play-in tournament. So one of the conversations they're having right now is keeping this play-in tournament as part of just the postseason. I don't know how you guys feel about that play-in tournament, but man, why the hell I was so interested in the worst teams in the Orlando bubble. I was watching New Orleans, I was watching the Kings, I was watching Phoenix. Remember Phoenix, Devin Booker, they go 8-0 and were, I think, a half game away from playing in that play-in tournament. How amazing would it have been to watch Portland versus the Phoenix Suns, the two best teams, the hottest teams in the bubble before the postseason started. But I don't know how you guys feel about the play-in tournament, but I freaking loved it. And I think a lot of NBA fans thought this was something that the NBA tried and thought, hey, you know what, this is probably a great idea. Let's keep this thing going and let's make this a part of. There's certain things you liked about this restart. I mean, I think the NBA was always trying to see, hey, can we start our season on Christmas or around Christmas? And I don't know if that's it seems like, at least from what we got so far, some of the ratings that came back in the summer and everything else, they would have to be done before you get into August, probably before you get into July, because a lot of these players want that offseason and the TV ratings didn't do all that well. But this thing, I think, has got to stay. And the way the play-in tournament, the way they would structure it now, they would do a 4-team tournament among the number 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds. So that is different than what they did this past year, because in the Orlando bubble, if you guys remember, the number 7 team wasn't a part of it. So that means, for example, Dallas was number 7. It would have been Dallas, Memphis, Portland, and I don't know, Phoenix or San Antonio, whatever the, you know, the 10th best team was. New Orleans, I think, was another one competing. So the tournament would begin with number 7 hosting number 8, and then number 9 would face number 10, and then whoever lost and all that stuff. But it would be a 4-team tournament. I love the idea. That's it. That's all I could really kind of explain to this out of the different ideas that came out of the Orlando bubble. Having a play-in tournament, I thought, was incredibly exciting. I thought it gave a lot of different cities that maybe weren't a part of the mix, gave them an opportunity, gave them something to play for towards the end of the season, so that really no team can take a night off. Because yes, maybe you're the Lakers and you earn the number 1 seed, those games aren't as important. But then you have other teams that could be in that 7-10 slot, or maybe they're 11 trying to get into the 10th slot, that all of a sudden these games become very meaningful at the end, where a lot of the times, if you're already out of the playoff race, they don't become meaningful. So that part I love, no question about it. Okay, if you missed any part of the show, go to the ESPN app or on iTunes, type in Lakers Talk. By the way, subscribe to the podcast. We'd greatly appreciate that. Our podcast numbers have always done just consistently really, really well. And if you're a Laker fan, I do this on a weekly basis for 2 hours, so you'll get definitely a good amount of Los Angeles Lakers talk out of this. And then just a quick reminder, if you're tuning in right now, we're going to go live on social on ESPN Los Angeles and on my Twitter as well. We will go and do about another half hour of Lakers talk and kind of continue some of these topics. Appreciate everybody tuning in as always. Our next Lakers talk show will be next Tuesday, so a week from tomorrow, LA as always. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your night and go vote.